My name is Bo Hagen. I get to pastor, and my wife and I get to lead this amazing church, and we're just excited that you're here today. We want to welcome you again. We want to say thank you for being here, and I know that many of you are here today because you're wondering what our church is all about. Can I just say thank you for being here? Thank you for being here. Here's the thing. We have a purpose here at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, and here's how we state it. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched world with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. Amen? That is the purpose that God has given us, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is blessing that purpose, and that purpose is directly from Him. You say, what else are we about? Well, here's what we desire to do at Thousand Hills. We desire to reach those that maybe feel out of place in a traditional church setting. Again, traditional church isn't bad. We love traditional church. I drove by four or five traditional churches, maybe not like ours today, and I held my hand out and I prayed for every one of them. And I prayed for their pastors, and I said, God bless them, help them to reach double the people that they've reached in their whole career as a church. And so it's not about our church, it's about the church. Amen? And it's about reaching the unchurched. That's what we're about here at Thousand Hills. If you feel like, man, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand church. I don't know about all this, church words, all these things. Listen, that's what our church is about. We're a church that's perfect for imperfect people. Because we've all failed, right? And so that's what we're about. And I'm just telling you, we're here to build the church of God. And I'm here to say that we are so glad that you're here this morning to be a part of seeing what God wants to do, not only in our church in Northwest Oklahoma, but all across the world. God has given us a big vision, and we want to see it fulfilled for His glory. And so I'm excited that you're here today. Well, we are a church that also values the Western way of life. I see a lot of cowboy hats, and I love it, but here's what I want you to know. You don't have to be a cowboy to come to Thousand Hills. You just don't, because we're here to reach the world, not just the Western culture. But I will say this. We do value the Western culture, because I don't know if you've seen this or not, but we actually live in Northwest Oklahoma, where it's agriculture, and there are ranches and cowboys and all kinds of great stuff like that. Here's the one thing that I know about cowboys, and this is what I know. I've been able to ride on some great ranches and be a part of, a lot of, crews and all that stuff. And here's what I've learned. Everybody loves good help. If you're working cattle, you want good help. And by the way, there is a difference between good help and not so good help. Can I get an amen? I've been on both sides of that. There's days where I can be a good hand, but then there's days where I'm like, just let me out of the pen. I don't think I can, help you guys today. But here's the other thing that I've noticed. There's a difference between a good cow boss and a bad cow boss. If you don't know what a cow boss is, that's the guy who's in charge of that, that crew or that gathering and in charge of the ranch. And so there's a difference between a good cow boss and a bad cow boss. You can have, a cow boss that's, kind of mean or whatever. But then you can have the cow boss that respects his crew, that shows that he appreciates them and treats them like human beings. Because here's what I've learned. Good hands, good horses, good dogs, they usually work better for a cow boss, that is good to them and that is kind to them. And so I'll give you an example. I'm not going to pick on any of the cow bosses in this room, even though I've ridden with some of you guys. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm going to pick on myself. The other day, we don't have very many cows as a family. We're just now trying to build, our ranch and pull that all together. But we had four calves that we needed to work, okay, at my house. And so instead of, calling a buddy and, dragging them, we didn't want to get the horses saddled and all that stuff. So we just decided, or I decided that I was going to ask my wife and our kids to help me work these calves, right? And so we get out there, we get all the, the shots ready, we get the, branding iron hot, and here's what I told him. I said, hey guys, and my sons are 6 and 8, and my daughter's 10, by the way, and my wife, I'm not going to tell you her age. But they were all out there, and so we get the branding iron hot and all that stuff, we hem them up, and we got a bud box, and so we hem them up in the corner of this bud box, and here's what I tell them. I say, hey, here's what we're going to do today, okay? I'm going to go up, and I'm going to grab the hind leg of one of those calves, and then I want somebody to come grab the front leg, and we're going to, turn these calves on their side, and we are going to work these calves right here. That was the last thing that I remember going right. Anybody been there? Raise your hand gently. But that's the last thing I remember going right, because here's what happened. I went to grab a calf and I was grabbing it by the hind leg, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, my wife runs into the picture, and I got to give her credit. She tried her butt off. So give my wife a hand. I mean, she tried her butt off, but this calf whipped the crap out of her. That's all I got to say. I mean, she's trying to get this calf up, and then I'm asking for kids. I'm like, and this is where you guys, I know you guys never lose it when you're working calves, but I do. And this is where I began to yell. It's like, you know, where are you guys? Get a hold. Come on. Grab something. Get up here. Help us. I mean, and this isn't that hard. I mean, what the heck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Anybody ever been there? Don't judge me. Because I know many of you have probably said worse than that. But here's the thing. You know, needless to say, here's what I've learned in working with my family and working with, you know, other people, is that, you know, that response doesn't fly very well. My wife, she looked at me when I started yelling. She's like, oh, no, you didn't just yell at me. And my kids are like, oh, no, I ain't doing crap because you're yelling at me. And so here's what we did. We regrouped. I put a smile on my face. We let the calves back up, you know, the one calf that we had. We let it back up, and we just got the job done because Dad changed his tone. Amen. Dad changed his tone and actually tried to have a little fun. My daughter, who's 10 years old, she was afraid to grab a hold of that calf. She thought it was going to whip her, and hurt her or whatever. Well, in the process of regrouping and actually, you know, being a good cow boss, she learned that she can actually withhold and hold on to a calf, right? My son, Hank, we, you know, allowed him to, you know, grab a rope, and he got to rope a calf while it was on the ground, and we drug it and, you know, flipped it over and got it worked. My youngest son, who's 7, or fixing to be 7 in June, he got to learn again that it's fun to play with the calf's sack, if you know what I'm saying. And he also learned that calf fries are slimy, and they're fun to play with. And so, here's the deal. We got those calves worked, right? We had a great time. By the end of it, I'm still married and my kids forgave me. And so here's what I've learned. Here's what I've learned every time I lose it, every time I, you know, get it wrong, here's what I learned. Horses, you can say horses, dogs, you know, especially people, always respond better to the kindness and the goodness and the love of a great cow boss. They always do. And you say, well, what's the application here? Well, here's the spiritual application. Many of you are here today, and listen, you may be listening online. I mean, we record this. We have it on thousandhillsranch.church. You can go back and listen to it. But many of you are here today, and when it comes to the church, when it comes to knowing God, all you've heard, all you've been preached to about, and sadly, many of you, all you've experienced is this God that acts like this mean cow boss. He's a cow boss that's out to get you. I mean, you better do things right. You better get the job done. You better not fail. You better, you know, not let him down, or he's going to chew your butt and he's actually going to enjoy it. Again, that's so many people. They walk into church and that's what they maybe have experienced. Maybe they, you know, experienced the preacher just talking down to them or whatever it is. But listen, I'm glad that you're here because I have the pleasure of telling you some good news. Some good news. The good news is this. God is not the mean cow boss. He's not. He's not out to get you. He's not the yelling kind of God. He's not out, you know, looking and waiting for you to screw up so he can hit you with the hot shot. That's just not the God that he is. He is a God of kindness. A cow boss of kindness. And his greatest desire is for you to experience his forgiveness and his love. Now, some of you are here and you're like, okay, Bo, I've heard that before, but I've never really experienced God's goodness. I want you to prove it. I mean, some of you guys are skeptics, and we love skeptics here, because at some point, if you begin to search for God's truth and God's love, guess what? He's going to show up in your life. He is, because you're pursuing him. But here's the thing. You maybe say, well, that's nice, but I need proof. I mean, how do I know that God is good? How do I know I can trust him with my life? Well, can I just tell you, the reasons are limitless. on why you should trust him. But I want to give you a few today and I want to be done, okay? Number one is this. You say, why should I trust him? Why should I trust that he is a good God? Well, number one is this. God showed his kindness by sacrificing his son for us. Let me say it again. God showed his kindness by sacrificing his son for us. I mean, look at this scripture in Romans 8. It'll be on the screen. And if you want to say the underlined words with me, you can. If you don't, that's fine. But Romans chapter 8, it says this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is what? If he's for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? I mean, who dares accuse us, you know, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has what? Given us right standing with himself. Who then can condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in a place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we face trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And you say, Bo, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And you say, Bo, you know, how do I know that God is good? How do I know that he's not that mean, you know, cow boss? How do I know that? How do I know he's going to love me? Here's how you know. He gave his most prized possession. You say, who is it? His boy. His only son. I mean, I've got two sons, right? Hank and Hampton. And can I just tell you, I'm a good guy. I'm a kind guy every now and then, unless we work calves together. I'm just kidding. I'm not that bad, am I? No, babe. No, I'm not. Right? But here's the thing. I'm a pastor. I'm a good guy. But can I just make something really clear? I would not sacrifice my son for you. It's just not. I don't mean that bad. But I just wouldn't do it. Maybe I'd lay my own life down. Maybe I would sacrifice myself. But I would never sacrifice my sons for you. But guess what? That's exactly what God did for you. That's exactly what he did for us, because that's the God that we serve, a God of love. And so why did he do this? He did it for us. Nothing more, nothing less. He did it for us. And guess what? Jesus himself knew that this was his purpose. Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 10. It's on the screen. And listen to what Jesus says. He says, I am the what? The good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Listen to this. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they do not belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care for the sheep. But listen to what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Here's the cool thing. Jesus Christ is the cow boss of kindness, and he proved it by sacrificing his own life for us. But here's the thing. That's not the end of the story. Amen. That's not the end of the story. Listen to number two. How does God show us his kindness? Number two, God showed his kindness by raising Jesus from the dead. Amen? Let's give it up for that. I mean, he raised him from the dead. Look at Romans 8 again in verse 34. It says this, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for who? For us, and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor in God's right hand, or at God's right hand, pleading for us. Here's the thing. Jesus, he went to the cross for us. He was beaten for us. He died for us. He was buried for us. He was laid in a borrowed tomb for us. But guess what? The borrowed tomb was borrowed for a reason. You know why? Because he was going to rise from the dead in 3 days. And here's the cool thing. I mean, that's exactly what happened. Listen to this story. In Luke chapter 24, it says this. But very early Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been what? Rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked them, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he said to you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this, and they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Here's the thing. You say, what's the significance of him dying? Really, the death wasn't what was important. It wasn't what made the eternal difference in the world today. You know what made the eternal difference? Him rising from the dead. You say, what do you believe about that? Well, here's what I believe. I believe that that is the single most powerful event in the history of humanity. Amen? I mean, think about it. I can go to the grave of Muhammad, and I guess what's in the grave? Dust. Ashes. I can go to the grave of Buddha. Guess what's in the grave? Dust and ashes. I can go to all the old, so-called gods in all of the world. I can go to everybody's grave in the whole face of the earth, and guess what's in the grave? Dust. Bones. But here's the thing. I've been to Israel. I've been to the garden tomb where they supposedly laid Jesus down. And guess what? There's nothing in it. There's absolutely nothing in it. You know why? Because he rose from the dead. And he lives. You know, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me a long life, narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You know, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. And so listen, we don't serve a dead God. It's the greatest truth that you can hear today. We serve a risen Savior, and this event of him rising from the dead is the most powerful event and powerful truth in history. And so you say, so what are the reasons? Well, God showed his kindness to us by sacrificing his one and only Son. But not only that, God showed his kindness by raising Jesus from the dead. But here's the thing, and this is the thing that I want to end on. Number three, in light of God's kindness, we would be fools not to turn from our sin and turn to him. We would be fools. Listen to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says this, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, how wonderfully tolerant, how wonderfully patient God is with you? Does this not mean anything to you or nothing to you? Can't you see that it is his what? His kindness is intended to what? Turn you from your sin." Another scripture, a version of this, says that it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. And you say, what does that mean? Well, when you use the word repentance, a lot of people, again, they don't know maybe what that means. Well, I'll explain it in horse terms, okay? If you've ever ridden a horse and you've ever maybe seen a horse show or whatever, a lot of times, in horse shows especially, they have a thing which they get judged on, which is called a rollback. Many of you guys have heard of this. When they're running down the arena and they're running in a straight line and then they slide to a stop, and then the rollback is when they turn their horse and they turn him in the opposite direction. They want to be as fluid and as smooth as they can, and they turn him in the opposite direction and the horse lopes off in the opposite directions. Or direction. It's called a rollback. You say, well, what's the point? Well, as sinners, as people who need to be forgiven, guess what? God is asking us to perform the rollback of repentance. He wants us to slide to a stop. Stop running from His forgiveness. Stop running from His kindness. Stop running toward your sin. Stop running toward your past or to other things that are going to ruin your life. Stop running from those things and perform a rollback and turn in the other direction and follow Him. But guess what? We'd be fools not to do it. Here's the thing that I wonder so many times, and maybe because I'm on the other side and I know Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. Here's what I've learned. I think people are crazy that don't love Jesus. I think they're crazy. I mean, you think about it. They're crazy because here's the thing. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says this. Now repent of your sin and turn to God so that your sins may be what? Wiped away. You say, what does repentance do for me? Well, here's what it does for you. It sets you free from your sin. It sets you free from your past, from the pain, from the shame, all those things. It sets you free from all of those things and leads to joy. It leads to peace. It leads to blessing. It leads to happiness. So why the heck would we not want to repent? I don't know. But here's the sad thing. Many people don't. Many people, maybe you're here today and you've heard this message before, but you've never turned your life over to Jesus. And you say, well, here's why, Bo. I mean, I feel like God's let me down. I mean, I asked Him to pull through in this situation, and I don't think He pulled through for me. Or maybe you've been treated, poorly by somebody that claims to know Jesus. Can I just encourage you? Can I just plead with you? Don't let the devil steal your trust in God. Amen? Here's the fact. The devil wants you to not hear this message today. He wants you to say, no, I don't need none of that. I got too much living to do. No, I got, I'm young. I got to, sow my wild oats. So I got to do what I want to do. No, that's what the devil wants you to hear. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. But here's the truth. Jesus died on the cross because His Father was a good Father. And here's the truth. God will never fail you. He never will. God is a good God. God is a kind God. And His greatest desire is to show you love. And to forgive you and to show you His mercy and His grace. And so here's the thing. Today, I believe, and here's what I've prayed for months, that today would be your day. That today that you would give your life to Jesus Christ. Not because you feel guilty, not because the preachers told you to do it, but because you understand God's kindness. And it's going to lead you to a relationship with Him. And so you ask, is God really good? Is He really going to be kind? Is He really going to, take care of me? Here's my answer. You're dang right He's good. You're dang right He's good. Amen? And so here's what I want to ask you to do. As the band's coming, I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you are here today, and again, you're in that position where you've never given your life to Jesus, and you all you've heard is the fire and the brimstone and how what not to do or what what's going to happen if you don't. Listen, there is truth in that. I mean, if you're a sinner today, like all of us, because we've all fallen short, guess what? You were born with sin in your life. And one of these days, without Jesus in your life, without giving Him your life, your destiny is a destiny to hell. But the great thing is, Jesus provided a way so that you could not have to go there. And so listen, some of you are here today and you say, well, how do I give my life to Jesus? How do I accept His forgiveness? How do I repent? Well, here's the fact. Romans 10:9 says this. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So again, maybe you're here today and you've tried the world's way, you've tried doing things even your way, and they have failed you time and time again. Can I just encourage you? Can I just challenge you? Can I just plead with you? It's your time. It's your time to give your life to Jesus Christ and to ask Him to forgive you. So here's what we usually do. We don't ask anybody to come to the front. We're not going to make you join a church. We're not going to make you do any of that. But here's what we always do at Thousand Hills. We always give people an opportunity to accept Christ. And so maybe you're here today, right there in your chair, hundreds of people throughout the history of our church and throughout the history of time have given their lives to Jesus. And so maybe in your chair right there, you just need to maybe pray a simple prayer like this. And you don't have to pray it out loud, just pray it in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that you were sent here to die for me. And Jesus, I know that you did die on the cross for my sins so that I could be forgiven. But Jesus, I also know that you've been raised from the dead, that you rose from the dead. And so today, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I give you my life. Please forgive me. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. Listen, maybe you're here today with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. I'm telling you, it's the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life. And now you have a personal relationship with the Lord of Lords, with the King of Kings, the Christ who has risen from the grave. And so we rejoice with you in that decision. We rejoice with you that you've given your life to Him. You say, Bo, what's the next step? What do I do now? Well, listen, that's why the church exists. To help you ride this new ride that you have with Christ. And you say, well, how do I connect with the church? Here's what we ask you to do. We're not, again, going to ask you to come to the front, but just take that orange card that's in your chair. You fill it out. Place it in one of the yellow buckets that are on the aisles here. Or take it back to our guest bar. And we want to connect with you so that we can help you ride this ride with Christ. Some of you are here today and you already know Christ. You've been in the church all your life, or you just got saved a while back and you've been in the church for a little while. And you're saying, well, you know what, but what's my role? What's my role? How do I live my life? Well, listen, I believe that God has called all of us to have the privilege as the church to be able to share the goodness of God with the world so that they can come to Jesus. And so again, maybe you're here today and you know Christ already, but maybe you need to pray maybe something like this in your heart. Lord, I commit today to share your goodness with everybody that I come in contact with. Lord, I want people around me to know that I trust you, that I love you, that I serve you, and I want them to repent just like I've been able to repent. And so maybe you need to pray that commitment to the Lord today and join us as a church in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. The band's going to sing one more song. Jamie's going to come and tell us what's happening next. But I want to praise God that you were here today to hear the greatest message ever preached. And it's the message of Jesus. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to know you. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to share your love with people in this world. And Lord, for those today that gave their life to you for the first time, Lord, we rejoice. We thank you for the answer to our prayers and them coming to know you personally. Lord, we thank you for each church member that's here as well that has come to worship you on the day that you rose from the dead. And we thank you for how you're using each of us to reach the world. Lord, may you be glorified, and may people continue to come to this church and to the churches all across the world and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.